I just wanted to, today our this sermon is going to be broadcast to all of our church campuses, from Busan down to Australia and Sydney. I just want to commend Pastor Joel. He stayed up till like 4 or 5 in the morning finishing that video. And can I say, man, it was well worth it. It's a beautiful, beautiful video. And yeah, something about it was really just touching my heart at a much deeper level than normal. And yeah, just I think it was a beautiful sight just to see those orphans in Myanmar just being ministered to at the altar. I mean, they don't know anything about controversies between, you know, charismatic and non-charismatic Christianity. You know, all they came up, and then the Holy Spirit touched them. No one told them, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fall down and wave your hands on the ground. I mean, the Holy Spirit just supernaturally just touched them. I thought it was just such a beautiful thing that God really, he's a father to the fatherless. And yeah, and then, you know, as I was watching the video and seeing the fire of God falling, you know, that fire of Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yeah, that's what really activates and awakens the church to our true destiny, to our true identity. And, you know, as I was just watching that video, man, I was just like, man, this is why it's so important that the leaders of our church, they learn how to take their place. This is why it's so important that we continue to get equipped and built up, and we continue to mature, and we continue to devote ourselves to prayer and to the Word of God. Because God is using our church in a mighty way. Our very young church, he's sending us out to the nations to release his fire, to teach truth, to encourage and to love. Man, this mission video, I feel like it had it all. From like creation to redemption to restoration. You know, at the end there's a wedding. You know, it's like it ends with the return of Christ, you know. Big old wedding feast. Anyway, it was so beautiful. And I just want to say, I think there was a real anointing on you, Joel, as you were finishing up this video. Really powerful. I know it's a little awkward, like editing footage of yourself preaching. But I thought you did it in a humble way. All right. Did a good job. And for those who are new to our church at any one of our 5 church services today, and you watched this video and you were fascinated or maybe even slightly offended by what you saw in the video because you're not used to seeing supernatural manifestations. You have not been really exposed to the charismatic movement or the way the Holy Spirit moves on this earth. And perhaps you're thinking, what the heck is going on? Why are all these people shaking? Why are they on the ground? You know, and I just want to encourage you. Perhaps you haven't seen all there is to God yet. Perhaps what you read about in the Bible, maybe God's still doing it. And what you saw in this video is simply called, in the Bible, signs and wonders. Things that cannot be conjured up in the natural or in the flesh, but only by the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. And the reason people shake is because they're coming into touch with the invisible power of God. When you come into contact with the invisible power of electricity, you tend to shake as well. You may not see gravity, but you jump off a building and you will see the power of gravity hit you. Well, you can't see the power of God. But when anointed ministers of the gospel, they go forth and they minister in the anointing power of God, people, they get touched by that power. And their physical bodies begin to react, they begin to respond. But what we don't do is we don't get hung up on those supernatural signs. Those signs are pointing to a deeper work that's happening in their lives. And many times God's bringing inner healing. God's bringing freedom. God's filling them with the Spirit that they can live new lives. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you, if you're new to all this, to open up your heart, open up your mind. You know, sometimes God will offend the mind to reveal the heart. If you're really that offended, perhaps God is challenging you. He's revealing things in your heart you didn't even know were there. If you truly love me, and these are the things I'm still doing on the earth, why wouldn't you embrace it? And so for our church community, we found out through a long process that God is still moving in this way. And so whenever we do these missions trips, it just comes out. It comes out, and so we don't want to hide it. If it happened, we want to show you that it happened, so that perhaps you will start thinking, maybe there's more to God than what I've already experienced. And we're here to tell you, we're just living, breathing proof that there is more. You know, a lot of young people, they grow up in church and they walk away from church because they conclude that God is not real. Or if God is real, he's really boring. This is not true. So young people, what do? They go to clubs. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah, this is real. You know, they win the affections of a beautiful girl in the club. You know, oh, yeah, this is love. You know, they get involved with drugs and they feel the physical manifestations and they start manifesting in different ways through drugs. And they go, yeah, this is real. I feel peace. I feel like I'm best friends with the world when I smoke this weed, when I smoke this joint, you know? And young people, they go to the things that they feel like are real because they're losing patience with what they're seeing in the church. But if the church will only return to the truth that God is still moving in supernatural signs and wonders on the earth, young people, maybe that fascination for God that they were designed to have, once that's awakened, perhaps young people will stay in church and be more devoted to church, realizing that the real thing is here in the house of God. The drugs, it will fade away. It will not satisfy. But the water that Christ gives, the Holy Spirit that Christ pours out, the fire that he brings, truly satisfies. Let me start my sermon right now. Genesis 49. Let's turn to Genesis 49, verse 10. If this is your first time today, we just want to welcome you to church. And if you come to Sunday service, we try to create a culture here where everyone brings their Bible. Because our church's vision is to raise up an army of mighty warriors. And we believe that warriors should carry their sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Bible says, which is the Word of God. Let's turn to Genesis 49, verse 10. I'll read it in the ESV. All of our church campuses, listen up as I read this verse. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Stop right there. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until tribute comes to him. Now, in some translations, it actually says, until it comes to the one to whom it belongs. In other translations, like the Latin Vulgate, it says, till he come to Shiloh. Oh, no, the Vulgate says, until it comes to the one to whom. He who is to be sent, which is a messianic allusion. And then other translation says, until he comes to Shiloh. Now, in the Hebrew, their original language in which the Old Testament was written, the most natural rendering of this translation in the Hebrew is it has the word Shiloh. So it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And the obedience of the nations is his. That sound like somebody that we know? Till Shiloh comes. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, we know, as we have the entire Bible in our hands now, that this is a messianic prophecy. Because we find out later that King David is born in the lineage of which tribe? Judah. David is born in the tribe of Judah. And then later in the New Testament, we find that Jesus is born in the lineage of King David. So in the Gospels, the people, the Jews of that time, when they were inquirer of each other, if Jesus is truly the Messiah, they would ask each other, could this be the son of David? That term, son of David, was a messianic term. Why? Because the son of David, and David being the king from the tribe of Judah, the Jews all understood that this is all messianic overtones, messianic implications. So Genesis 49:10 here is messianic. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The lineage of Judah will bring forth the royalty of kings. Climaxing to the point where the King of Kings is born into this world through the lineage of Judah. Everybody say Judah. In Revelation 5:5, Jesus is actually referred to when he returns in the end times as the lion. Everyone roar. I can't believe y'all just follow me. Y'all do anything I tell you. That's scary. No, I'm playing. Y'all are thinking adults. That was cute. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's not the first place it appears in the Bible. It actually appears not only last book, but appears in the first book right here in Genesis 49. If you read verse 8, a couple of verses earlier, it says, Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. And verse 9, Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? So the book of Revelation is referring to the book of Genesis, to this image of the Messiah returning at the end times. He's referred to as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And so that even when the 12 tribes of Israel, at a certain point in their history, they all rebel. And even Judah was the last to rebel. The other 10, 11 tribes, they were mixed up a little bit, but the majority of the 11th, as they rebelled on the northern kingdom to idolatry, God judged them, exiled them. Eventually, Judah also followed in those steps of idolatry, and God judged them and exiled them. But God preserved a remnant of his people in Judah. Why? Because he had made his promises that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. I will preserve this people. I will preserve this tribe. And therefore, today, the majority of the Israelites, what are they called? They're called Jews. Why? Because of the grace of God that was on the tribe of Judah. It was the Judah tribe, for the majority, for the most part, that survived all the history of idolatry that the people went through. And eventually, Jesus enters the world through the tribe of Judah. That's a little context and history lesson for y'all. But I want to focus on this sentence here, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Everybody say that. The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
Now, what does scepter represent? Well, in the natural, if you think about it, a scepter, if you don't know what a scepter is, it is a long rod stick, you know, made of different materials. And it is what the king holds out in his hand. And it symbolizes authority, power, and kingdom rule. Whoever holds that scepter is the one who rules. And the values of that king is going to go out through the rule of that king. Now, in Hebrew, the word Judah means praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
So the passage can read, the scepter shall not depart from praise. Now, we all know the Messiah. I already went over the messianic meaning of Judah. But the literal translation of Judah is just praise. The scepter shall not depart from praise. Kingdom authority shall not depart from the place of praise. Now, New Philly, as our church moves into new levels of authority and stewardship, it is going to require that we rise up and exercise greater and greater levels of kingdom authority. You cannot execute kingdom rule without kingdom authority. And whenever you exercise authority that's not given by God and blessed by God, that's called witchcraft. Illegitimate authority. That's called witchcraft. But kingdom authority, New Philly, God is calling us to rise up and to steward greater and greater levels of this authority. But kingdom authority shall not remain on the smartest church or the most professional church or the most charismatic church. But the Bible says kingdom authority shall not depart from Judah, from praise. So we, as a church and as individuals, if we want to rise into new levels of authority, we must learn how to keep our praise on. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to unpack a message I preached 5 years ago called the Garment of Praise. You see, every day when we wake up, we have a choice to make. And that choice is about what we're going to wear. You know, I'm not good at color coordination, actually. I'm not very good at dressing myself. I grew up very poor, so, you know, all my clothes were hand-me-downs when I was growing up. Most of my clothes. I can't say all my clothes. Most of my clothes. And, you know, I didn't really fit in them. I didn't really care. I just threw something on. I just went to school, you know? And those habits have been ingrained in me. And so I need my wife's help a lot of times. And recent years, I've been getting better and better ever since I've been married. Praise the Lord. The marriage is making me a better dresser. But every day I wake up, I go through that decision very slowly. So I realize I'm being late to the office because a lot of times I'm spending too much time like putting things on, taking it off, putting something on. It's kind of embarrassing to share this, but it's the truth. And so what I've started doing is I try to predetermine what clothes I will wear the night before. So when I wake up, I just throw it on. Okay. But anyway, whether you do it at night or whether you do it in the morning, each day you have a choice to make about what you're going to wear. But did you know that there's an article of clothing that God wants us to wear every single day as well? And that article of clothing is called the Garment of Praise. If you read in Isaiah 61:3, I'll read it for you. Isaiah 61:3. It says, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. In the NIV, it says a spirit of despair. In the King James, it says a spirit of heaviness. But all the translations talk about the garment of praise. Each day when you wake up, you can choose what you're going to wear. Now, how many of you guys, you've ever experienced a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of despair, a spirit of depression? It's a horrible feeling. It's when you do anything in your life and it just feels like everything you're doing is futile. It's useless. It's producing no fruit. The world seems dark and dull, like a dark cloud is following you around wherever you go. You feel faint and weak and like a failure. That's a spirit of heaviness, that spirit of despair. And no matter why or how the spirit of heaviness got in, the Bible is teaching us clearly how to get it out. It's by trading your garment. The garment of heaviness, you trade it in for the garment of praise. Isaiah 61 talks about how the anointing of the Spirit of God comes upon us so that we can minister in this supernatural way to others. And then whenever we meet a depressed person or somebody who's going through hopelessness, we can set them free by bestowing on them the garment of praise, teaching them to give thanksgiving and praise to God. You praise yourself out of this depression. Now, but before we can minister to others in this way, we often need to do it for ourselves. You know, praise, before I go into this, is not the only aspect of the bigger umbrella, worship. Now, our work, our jobs, our obedience to God's word, the way we honor God with our bodies by living a pure life, all of these things are inclusive and different aspects of worship. And this is why Jesus taught in the Gospels that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. God is not pleased when we give just mere lip service to him, but our hearts are far from him. It's the type of worship that the Israelites brought at one point. But when our lives are fully devoted to Him, and we are walking rightly with God, there is nothing better, there is no way better than to express our thanksgiving, love, and devotion to God than through our praise. When we praise Him together in the church, or when we praise Him at a prayer meeting, or in a house of prayer, or at a conference, and this praise represents our devotion to God, it is the apex of worship. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. You know, if someone asked you, why do you go to church? How would you answer them? Well, I go to church to worship the Lord. I go to church to praise the Lord. I remember when I was a college student and I went to Tennessee for a conference call one day hosted by Passion. Louis Giglio was giving a seminar to worship leaders, and he said this, and I never forget it. He said, don't come to church to worship. Come to church worshiping. And it was a warning to worship leaders, because a lot of times worship leaders, the only time they worship is on Sunday. Only time they worship is when they up in this stage and grabbing that guitar and looking real good. Let's sing that again. Or they're on that keyboard and sing, ooh, ooh. Sometimes that's the only times that praise is going up from the heart of the worship leader. And so Louis Giglio was saying, okay, all right, that's a little hypocritical. You're trying to muster people up to praise, but you ain't praising during the week. That's because it's a misconception. You don't come to church to worship. You got to come to church worshiping. And in this sense, a lot of people, they show up to church naked. The only time they put on that garment of praise is when they show up to service. And then when they leave the church sanctuary, they leave that garment behind. I'll see you next week. Not all naked, vulnerable. Brothers and sisters, we need to put on our garments of praise every day. Amen? Amen. Every day is a good day to praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, it says, through Him, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Notice here, it doesn't say, let us offer to God a silent sacrifice of praise. Now it says, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. If you're going to offer up the sacrifice of praise, there's got to be something coming out of your lips. Let me praise God in my meditation. And perhaps you can do that to some degree. But the praises of God need to be confessed. They need to be flowing out from the lips. And what does it mean to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise? Now, I don't think it means just praising God all the time, but to do it in all circumstances of life. And the best example I can think of in the Bible about this is the book of Job. You know, when you read the book of Job, in one day, this man lost all of his belongings. And all of his children. They all died at like two big parties. He lost everything in one day. And he said this in Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. See, in one day he lost everything he had. Job felt completely naked and natural. But one thing he refused to take off was his garment of praise. That's what it means to continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes, if you want to praise God, you got to sacrifice something. You got to sacrifice your offense. You got to sacrifice your understanding. You got to sacrifice your pride in order to praise God through all circumstances of life. And a lot of people think that we ought to praise God after we get what we have asked of Him. And some people may refuse to praise God until God gives them a reason to. And they pray something like this: Lord, I'll praise you when you give me a reason to praise you about. But we need to learn to praise God even before the breakthroughs come. Even before we have any particular reason, we just need to put on our garment of praise, because putting on that garment of praise is the very thing that's going to take us into our breakthrough. You know, one of the 9 core values of New Philadelphia Church is be extravagant in worship. And I want our church at this hour, this crucial hour, where we're rising into new levels of authority. I mean, you just even watch the missions video. You can see the new levels of authority. Like, if you compare this missions video from mission video from 5 years ago, there's definitely new levels of authority and honor that we're carrying. But we want to continue to steward that authority in increasing measure. We got to stay in the place of praise, because a scepter shall not depart from Judah. You know, and, you know, one thing that really annoys me, and this is, if you have a medical condition, you know, you're completely excused from this. But, you know, one thing that really annoys me is when people go to the restroom during my sermon. Now, I understand my sermons are a little longer than most people's sermons. But, you know why I get a little annoyed? Because when I go to the movies with that same person, they're sit through a 3-hour feature film and not go to the bathroom once. They can hold their bladder for 3 hours for a movie. Well, they can't hold their bladder for 62 minutes or whatever, however long I went for my sermon. It's just kind of, you know, if you have a medical condition, once again, you should go. You should feel free to go as much as you need to, you know. But you know what? When you buy a movie ticket, a lot of times, what do? We go to the movie theater on time. Because we don't want to miss a thing. We want to be there, even if you got to watch the commercials, whatever, and see the lights dim down. Like, you want to be there for that whole experience. You don't want to miss a single part of the movie. And that's your way to honor the director. Oh, I love Steven Spielberg. Oh, I love, Steven Spielberg. I can't think of another director. Scott Ridley, or, you know, all the different wonderful directors that are out there. Well, we're willing to honor the director of a film and show up right on time for a movie. But how is it that we are not willing to honor the director of this universe and show up on time for church service? It's because we're slipping in our minds the value of praise. So when you praise, there's greater authority that's rising in your hearts, because your eyes are fixed upon the one who has all authority. There's just no way for you to grow into that other than staying in that place of praise. And if you're missing 60%, 70% of praise every single Sunday, and you're wondering why you have no authority to blast the devil out of your life, it's because you're not staying in Judah. You're going your own way. You know, instead of a garment of praise, some people love putting on the garment of anxiety, of gossip, of grumbling, self-pity. People of God, if this is you, you are wearing the wrong clothes. Why don't you trade in those clothes for the garment of praise? And one thing about the garment of praise that I mentioned 5 years ago is it normally comes oversized for people. Because you see, the garment of praise comes in only one size. And it's a one size that does not fit all. It comes in extra, extra, extra large. It's the only size it comes in. And some people, when they put on that garment of praise, they feel awkward because it's too big. And so they just take it right off. And instead of continually putting it on, they just watch others put it on. And then they get depressed of why they can't seem to have the same passion and joy during worship like they do. Well, here's the thing about the garment of praise. You have got to grow into it. Yes, when you put it on, if it may feel too big, it may feel a little awkward, but you just keep on putting it on. And it will start to shape right around you. And you need to continue to feed yourself so that you grow into that garment until it feels just right. Garment of praise is never going to shrink. So you need to grow. You need to grow into it. How do we grow into the garment of praise? As usual, let me give you 3 points to my sermon. Number one, Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. Says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What's the first way we can grow into our garment of praise? Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What you saw in that missions video of people tripping out, looking a little bit unusual and bizarre, that's the same way they described the day of Pentecost. When the early believers, they were filled by the Spirit of God and with fire for the first time. They looked drunk. They looked bizarre. They were speaking in different languages. And what you saw in that missions video were people, the people of God being filled by the Spirit of God. Some of them for the very first time. And you see, that experience of the filling of the Spirit of God, whether it comes with supernatural signs and wonders or not, we need to continually be filled by the Spirit of God. We need to continually seek to experience it. Seek to experience the power of it. Seek to and walk in the truth of it. To be led by the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God. But the first thing, how to grow into a garment of praise, you got to be filled with the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God is the spirit of worship. And Jesus said, true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to worship in spirit. You know, you might worship with agreement to the doctrines, the orthodox right doctrines of the Bible. You might be able to worship God that way, but for you to worship God in spirit and in truth, you need the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61, where the term garment of praise comes from, the Bible says the anointing of the Spirit comes to bestow the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's through the Spirit, through the anointing of the Spirit, where people have breakthroughs in their ministry of praise to God. You know, a lot of times we see this at our church. And by the way, in order to be filled, you got to empty yourself. So it requires repentance and surrender. People who don't quite get filled, it might be because you're not emptying your vessel. You're already packed in there with all kinds of worldliness. And therefore, we got to come to God with repentance and surrender. You empty that vessel and God will fill it to the overflow. A lot of times what we see here at our church is constantly there are Christians coming to our services that have never experienced the supernatural power of God. Or they've never been exposed to any kind of charismatic ministry. And they come, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Catholics, churched or unchurched. They come with no experience of the power of God. And they stick out like a sore thumb because during the time of praise, they look so awkward. They look like a husband in a lingerie shop with their wife. I don't know what to do. They just look really awkward. Maybe that's a bad example. I'm sorry. I feel very awkward. I never like to go to those stores with my wife. I always say, you go there, honey, by yourself. But those worshipers will stick out. And what will happen is we look at them, but we just think, man, it ain't no thing. Because when they go to that Emmaus retreat, or they come to a Friday fire, or they come to our church-wide retreat, we're going to be praying, Jesus, get them. Get them good. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. This is how we pray every year at our church-wide retreat. And God has been very faithful. Up to like 97% of all attendees at our church-wide retreat, I mean, they get blasted. I get blasted, like really good. Like really bad, but really good. And what the amazing thing is, usually the very next Sunday service, those same people that look super awkward during worship, they are worshiping and just, Lord, I just thank you. They're shouting, they're lifting their hands for the first time in their lives. And then we'll go, hey, you lifted your hands for the first time during praise. And they'll be like, I did? I didn't even plan to do that. Did I look awkward? No, you look more awkward when you weren't lifting your hands in worship. We're really celebrating what God's done for you. That's because if you really want to stay in the place of Judah, the place of praise, you got to be filled by the Spirit of God. That's why it says here, be filled by the Spirit of God and then address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to God. You can't make melody in your hearts to God without the Spirit of God. Number two, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Second way you grow into your garment of praise is you get filled with the word of God. It says it right here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. What is that? That's discipleship groups, your community group, your familiar group, your small groups. When you go there and you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as the word of Christ dwells in you richly, that's the ministry of discipleship. But the Apostle Paul says, don't stop there. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts. You want to grow into the garment of praise, got to get filled with the word of God. When you get filled, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is not filled, with your mind and your heart are not filled with the word of God, what's going to overflow? Some foolishness that you saw on TV. Some profanity you saw on an R-rated movie. You know? That's what overflows. But when you got the word of God in you, and you're filled with that, what's going to overflow is praise. Praise at a whole nother level. And number three comes in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. I'm going to read it in the NIV. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. This is King David. He says, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. Okay, what was happening in this context was King David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant, which was lost to the Philistines during the time of war. He was taking this Ark, which he recaptured in war, and he was bringing it into Jerusalem. Now, there was round one and round two of bringing the Ark into Jerusalem. In round one, he didn't do it the right way. He had it being pulled on carts with oxen, like pulling the ark. And that was not the way that God had instructed that the ark be carried. The ark was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests, not on man-made carts and oxen. And so as the ark is going in, there's a young man named Uzzah. This cart is not doing a good job of holding the ark. Oh, let me help to steady it because it's about to fall. And he puts his hand on the ark and he dies. And King David up until this point, he's celebrating, he's dancing. Yeah, we're bringing the ark back into the city of Jerusalem. We're going in. Yes, yeah. Oh, Uzzah died. I mean, that if you had a party at your house and somebody died, that's going to kill that party. You're not going to be like, oh, all right, let's remove his body and let's keep celebrating. No. Right? So that totally ruined everything. And so King David cried out before the Lord, Lord, what happened? What happened? I thought this was pleasing in your sight. And then the priests were like, well, actually, we should search the scripture. The scripture actually says we're supposed to carry it on our shoulders. King David, why didn't you tell me? So David, the second round of bringing the ark in, you know, just in case, he goes all out in his like celebration. He hands out raisin cakes to everybody. Everybody raisin cakes. And he kills all these oxen as a sacrifice to God along the way. So, you know, it's kind of bloody everywhere. And then the king, you know, they didn't have wet naps back then. So, you know, he's handing out raisin cakes. I hope, you know, these raisin cakes aren't, you know, anyway. As he's doing that, the priests are carrying the ark on their shoulders. And he's bringing it in. And he's so happy that nobody's dying. So happy that the ark is finally, the presence of God is finally coming into Jerusalem. And then the whole nation of Israel, all 12 tribes, will now be able to enjoy the blessing of God and the presence of God during his kingdom. He was so happy about that. He was praising God with all of his might. But he was a king. But he was praising God so much his clothes started falling off. But, you know, when you see like dancers on stage and they have like a mini skirt on, usually they have like some kind of sports like brief under there, you know? So you're like, whoa, 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 oh, this is a sports brief. Okay. That's okay. Well, King David, he didn't have no sports brief on, okay? He's like flashing people, mooning people, not caring. So one of his wives, Michal, despised him. I was like, man, what kind of king are you? That's so disgusting. And she was a daughter of Saul, so you know she grew up in royalty. So she's like, how could you do that? You just completely humiliate yourself. And this is how David responds. Woman, I will celebrate before the Lord. And I will become even more undignified than this. Hallelujah. How do you grow into your garment of praise? You make your praise louder than your pride. David knew how to do that already by this point. But many of you, you know. Hey, Roy. Hey, dancing up and down in front of the stage area. Like, you're not a good jumper. You look really awkward. And Roy's like, oh my goodness, was everyone looking at me jumping awkwardly? I'm never going to worship God like that ever again. Okay, that's where you refuse to make your pride, what your praise louder than your pride. But if you're going to grow into your garments of praise and grow into greater levels of authority, because a scepter will not depart from Judah, then you got to be like our brother Jin down in Busan. Our brother Jin in Busan is one of our church leaders. And he is a fanatic when it comes to worship and praise. He'll stand in front, especially at our retreats. He will bring this brightly colored shirt that has fire flames coming up the sides. And when praise begins, he's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Jin is like, Jin, do you have any dignity? No. That's the thing. When you talk to Jin outside of praise, he's very calm. You know? It's like, hey, Jin, you're thinking he's like a little bit unstable. But no, he's very calm, very at peace. But if you talk to him during the times of praise, you think you're talking to a crazy person. Why? Because he makes his praise louder than his pride. How many of us are so unwilling to do that? But here, King David, he said, man, you know what, woman, you haven't seen nothing yet. I will be even more undignified than this. And the people of Israel held him in honor. Despite everything they saw, they actually saw that as a good thing. And that's what the true saints in the house of God, they're not going to look at you and be like, you're an unstable person, you're a crazy person. No, they're going to be like, wow, I am inspired by the way you're worshiping God undignified. You know, that's why the ministry of Louis Giglio and the ministry of Hillsong, you know, all these like worship and praise based ministries, they're so effective at reaching young people. Because what happened is most of the young people who go to these events, they're not going there like full of like praise. It's just like a minority group of people that are already into that kind of culture and they're already worshiping. And then the majority of the group will look at that and they'll be so inspired that there's a greater freedom of worship that will come. You know? So those 3 points, right? Be filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Word of God, and make your praise louder than your pride. As you do these 3 things, you will grow into your garment of praise. And any time a spirit of heaviness or despair comes resting upon you, it will lift right off as you send the praises up. His peace will be sent down to your heart. So don't ever go naked again. Clothe yourself with the garment of praise. Amen?
Amen.
But just like with any good item of clothing, right, if you walk into Louis Vuitton at the duty-free shops of Incheon Airport, you're going to Dolce and Gabbana, or however way you say it. What are some other expensive clothing retailers? Burberry. And what? Versace. You know, you go into any of these expensive name brand stores. You know, a lot of times I get so nervous, I don't even want to walk in. I go in and they're like, how can I help you? Oh, I'm out. I get so nervous, I don't even like, you know, because I feel like I'm going to get embarrassed by, how much is this again? And then they'll be like, $400. I feel like my response will expose that I can't really afford whatever is in the store. Now, just as something you will get in a Burberry or Dolce & Gabbana or Versace, all these expensive clothing lines, you know that those clothing items are not cheap. In the same way, the garment of praise was not free. Somebody else had to pay the price so you can get it. The Bible says in Luke 23:34, quoting on the Old Testament prophecy, they cast lots to divide his garments. See, in Luke chapter 23, what's happening is Jesus is on his way to the cross to be crucified. And the Bible says that the guards, they start to cast lots just for fun to divide his garments. You see, the crucifixion, what a lot of us modern Christians often misunderstand, crucifixion was not an execution method. If you really study it, it was not meant to kill you. And in fact, most people don't die when they're crucified. It was a torture method meant to prevent crime in the Roman Empire. It was a very public and shameful, tormenting method, punishing method meant to prevent crime. Meaning that when Jesus was crucified, because they already took away his garments, what most artists will not depict is that Christ was crucified naked. It's most likely he was crucified naked. And his garment was stripped, and he was left naked so that new garments will be made accessible to you. He was clothed in sin and shame, taking your sin and my sin so that you can be clothed in grace and righteousness. Jesus was stripped so that he can provide you with new clothes, a robe of righteousness, a crown of life, a garment of praise. In fact, because he was willing to suffer and die in our place, Jesus is the garment of praise. Let me explain. The robe of righteousness, Jesus is the robe of righteousness. Because the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. when we clothe ourselves in the robe of righteousness, what we're doing is we're clothing ourselves with Christ. Well, in a very similar way, Christ is the garment of praise. The Bible says in Romans 13, 14, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you think you're just singing a song or making a melody in your heart to God. You think you're just lifting up a little bit of thanksgiving. But the way you abide in Christ through all of the difficult circumstances of life, the way you offer to God continually the sacrifice of praise, is to put on that garment of Judah, the garment of praise. When you do that, you're clothing yourself with Christ. When we refuse to do that, and we go and we clothe ourselves with the garment of grumbling or gossip or despair and heaviness, and we just stay there, we're just separating ourselves needlessly from the intimacy of God. When we put on the garment of praise, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Kingdom authority shall not depart from Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the way we abide in Christ and we bear much fruit for his name. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. The way we abide in him, one of the major ways we abide in him is we abide in praise. We fix our eyes on him and take it off of our problems. And we praise him and we worship him and we give honor and glory that's due to his name. Before the breakthrough comes, while you're in the midst of your pain and your suffering, even in the midst of your hopelessness and despair, if you will praise Jesus, you will praise God, you will find Jesus being near to you. Because he is the garment of Judah. He paid with his blood to give you free access to that praise. Kingdom authority also shall not depart from Judah, from praise. And so as ambassadors of the king, that kingdom authority shall not depart from those who remain in Christ through praise. Amen? You know, in the original verse that I read at the beginning of my sermon, it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff in between his feet, until Shiloh comes and the obedience of the nations is his. The obedience of the nations is his. Now, that word Shiloh in the Hebrew, over the years, over the history of church history and Jewish history, they've interpreted Shiloh to mean messianic overtones, because the context of that whole passage is messianic already. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the scepter will not depart, the ruler's staff, Shiloh comes. Right? Here's the thing. The obedience of the nations cannot be his without the ambassadors of this king exercising their authority. Let me say that again. The obedience of the nations cannot become his without the ambassadors of the king exercising their authority. And for us to exercise greater and greater kingdom authority in this city and into the nations, we have got to be a people that will remain in praise, thanksgiving, continually offering to God that sacrifice of praise. And last year at our churchwide retreat, my spiritual mama, Pastor Sunny Robinson, she came up to the mic during the last day and she prophesied over Aaron and myself. And she said that God is giving you a new level of authority Pastors Christian and Aaron. And I hear the word ex nihilo. And I don't know, you know, what the implications of this are, but ex nihilo in Latin means out of nothing. And for those who study the Bible in seminary, you know that ex nihilo is only one person you can refer to as being able to create something out of nothing. And that's God. All physicists will tell you, you cannot create something out of nothing. All we can do is recreate from something that's already there. And so she says, I hear the words ex nihilo. God's giving you a new level of authority. So that when you see hopelessness, you'll be able to speak hope and God will create ex nihilo, hope into their hearts. When you see a lack of finances or resources, you will ex nihilo resources and God will mobilize resources on your behalf or create resources out of nothing. That's the kind of implication she was giving. And then she ended the prophecy by saying, and Christian, as a sign that God is doing what he is saying right now, he's giving you this new level of authority, is you're going to prophesy over your wife's womb. And she will become pregnant and will conceive. And now, if you guys know the background history, a year before that, we got pregnant and we had a miscarriage. And after the miscarriage, it was very difficult for us to get pregnant. So Aaron will take certain hormonal medicine to try to, you know, kick up her ovulation because her ovulation wasn't coming in regularly. And so it was very difficult. And up until this point, we're trying, but we weren't getting pregnant. And so she gives the mic to me. All right, Christian. And I was like, all right, so, all right, let's pray. So I just stretched out my hands, put it over her stomach. And for those who were there, I said, whatever. I said, I decree ex nihilo that your womb be filled with new life. And you'll have a healthy pregnancy and delivery. I just spoke that out. A couple weeks later, Erin was at the ER because she got food poisoning. And when she was at the ER, the doctor said, we need to give you antibiotics or this food poisoning is going to get worse. And Erin says, well, I might be pregnant. Is this going to affect the baby? And the doctor says, oh, if you're pregnant, you shouldn't take this. But then she was in such bad shape. If she didn't take the antibiotics, she would get perhaps worse and then put the baby's danger in life that way if she was pregnant. And so, you know, I think they did like some kind of test and then they were like, hey, look, you're not pregnant. Can you take the antibiotics so you can get better? And my wife, man, she was stubborn. She said, no, I'm not going to take any medicine because I might be pregnant. And so, you know, the doctor was looking at me. I was like, oh, it's the wife, whatever she says. Can't do nothing about this. But I was so proud of her because 5 days later, we found out we were pregnant. The baby survived that crazy food poisoning. I mean, she was throwing up like 12 times from like 12 a.m. to like 6 a.m. Somehow the baby survived the dehydration, the food poisoning, everything. And on January 20th, our baby daughter, our firstborn, was born into the world, healthy and strong. And for whatever reasons, we decided to name her Shiloh. And I believe that the arrival of this baby represents that indeed, not only the leadership of this house, but the entire house at all of our church campuses, God is calling us, he's entrusting to us, he's raising us up to new levels of authority in this city. In the cities in which we're placed. New levels of authority. Why? So that the obedience of the nations can be his. When the ambassadors of the king exercise their kingdom authority, the obedience of the nations will be his. Meaning the kingdom of Christ will advance wherever our ambassadors, our warriors are sent. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and the obedience of the nations is his. Well, I just want to close this sermon by showing y'all that Shiloh has indeed come. It's our first Sunday at New Philly. And so since this video broadcast, we thought Aaron and I would just show everybody our baby through the video broadcast. So, hon, when you bring our baby Shiloh up, come on. All right. So, it's our baby daughter. She looks very serious. But, the return of Christ is very serious. So, all right, she's already a prophetic baby. But we just wanted to thank you for all your prayers, your support. And I just want to encourage and exhort the entire house, no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulties, no matter how the devil may try to pull you away from this church community, you know, I want to exhort you to continue to believe the promises and prophecies God's given over this house. Because we have a destiny, we have an assignment to complete to the glory of his name. And that's going to require that we steward greater and greater levels of authority. All right, very good. Yeah. So the arrival of this Shiloh, I believe, is a deposit of a greater Shiloh that will come. And he will restore all things and make all things new. And so we just can't keep the birth of our baby just to ourselves, because it was such a public prophecy that went out and it was fulfilled. It's not just to our joy, but it's to the joy of the entire church family. And so once again, we just want to thank you, and I want to exhort you, keep believing the promises and the words that have been spoken over this house. Because God is giving us new levels of authority. But the way we're going to stay in that place of authority and steward greater levels is through Judah. Through abiding in Judah. Amen? Let's all rise to our feet at all of our campuses. I just want to encourage the praise teams.